The Gap, written by Benjamin Gilmore and read by Maddie Morris. We park the ambulance behind the girl's blue hatchback and see a man, must be her father, cross the road. John opens the bag of salted peanuts, throws a few into his mouth. He crunches down, then passes the packet over. We watch the father and the police officer through the windscreen. It's like a silent movie. All I hear is our crinkling peanut packet and the crunching of Nobby's nuts as the tragedy unfolds. A constable extends his baton with a flick. He smashes the driver's window of the girl's car and carefully reaches in, taking a folded letter off the dash. He hands it to the father. With trembling fingers, the man slowly opens it. As he reads his daughter's suicide note, his lips begin to quiver. He runs a hand through his thinning hair, once, twice, a third time. Then he finishes reading and his chest begins to heave in sighs of grief. His head tilts back and he closes his eyes like somebody injured. When he opens them again, a gush of tears spills down his face. I'm mesmerized by his anguish, his agony. "Fuck it," says John, twisting the top of the packet and returning it to the glove box. He gets out and walks to the back of the wagon to get the father a blanket. Then he goes and puts it round the man's shoulders. It's summertime and not even cold, but the man huddles into it like a child. John puts a comforting hand on his shoulder, stands beside him in silence. Easing pain is our job. It's natural to want to reassure this father, perhaps remind him that his daughter isn't alone, that she's with 1,000 souls who've gone before her. But John knows, as I do, that the man has lost his little girl, and no words can bring her back. She can never be a number, never like the rest who've ended their lives up here. She's the world to him, the center of the world, the one he might have saved, the one we might have saved if we'd reached her in time. We streak into the city on another urgent call. An old man on Victoria Street, King's Cross, hasn't been seen for days. Usually it's a case of someone going on holiday without informing their neighbours, but every now and then we find a dead body. The neighbour meets us at the entrance, says, "The guy, his name's Stanley, he's an artist type." We knock at the door, but don't hear an answer. "You boot, I'll shoulder," says John, looking over. When the door splinters open, we find Stanley on the floor, conscious and a bit confused, mumbling and muttering. There's weakness down his left side and his speech is slightly slurred. And whenever he opens his mouth, we see his tongue has gone purple. "Ever seen that in a stroke?" I ask John. "Been eating crayons," John speculates. He puts a finger into Stanley's mouth and pulls out a stick of lilac. "There you go," John says with pride. As we carry Stanley out, we see portraits on the walls, all of the same young woman nude. In one framed work, her breasts are resting on her belly like two small cupcakes, and her slightly parted legs show a hint of pubic hair. "You've got a muse," John asks him. The old man's face lights up, his confusion gone. "That's Helena," he says, now smiling.